This Fab FM podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mossman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mossman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
That time of the week, it's exciting when we talk to our tech guy, Richard Pascoe. G'day, Richard.
Hello, Paul. Hello to all the listeners. Hope you're staying healthy out there.
We are. We certainly are, and we hope you are as well. Hey, before we get into the subjects we're going to talk about this week and the crap tech item of the week, I want to just get your thoughts because it's just been announced in the last couple of days that Apple Incorporated's market capitalization climbed into the $2 trillion territory.
And if you think about it, Paul, that's US dollars. It's a phenomenal amount of money. Apple are actually worth more than Brazil.
That would be right.
So, you know, it really shows that the company has weathered the COVID storm, is still weathering, like so many businesses out there, still weathering the COVID storm at the moment. And I think it's the fastest company to ever go from $1 trillion to $2 trillion as well.
Wow. Now, their shares traded as high as $468.65. That's US dollars. That is massive.
Yeah, it is. You know, go down by, let's go and buy one. So, yes.
Right. Hey, I wonder, do you know, I don't want to put you on the spot, do you know what their shares opened at when they first opened?
I think they've been as low as about a dollar.
Wow.
And I'm going back to when they had to get Steve Jobs back to the company during that time when they were days away from bankruptcy.
Oh, hang on. You're talking about after they were established. I'm talking about their very first trading price. What did they wonder what they opened up at?
I think it was from memory. I think it's from because I read this by. I think it's round, and I stand correct. I think it's round about the $20 mark.
But it did go as low as a buck.
And I think it's gone as low as a dollar during the bleak times when Steve Jobs wasn't around. So, and all credit to Tim Cook for the way he steered the company since Steve Jobs has gone. So, you know, he's done a tremendous job during this time to get them to where they are. And I've got to say, such an Adela over at Microsoft as well. Two companies which really, you know, are doing very, very well. Next week, I'm going to flag this. Next week, I want to readdress the ACCC taking on Facebook and Google.
Oh, okay. And a little bit of controversy again.
And I'm doing some research because I think the ACCC shot themselves in the foot with the statement they made.
All right. We'll get to that next week, will we?
I thought you'd like that. Yes.
Hey, Tim Cook, who's Apple's boss, isn't he, at the moment?
He is, yes.
He'd be on at least, what, $100,000 a year?
A bit more than that, Paul, so yes.
It would be a huge salary, one would suspect.
And all the iPhones he wants, so yes.
That's right. Good on him. Okay.
Can I just say on that subject, yeah. I actually sent him an email once because I had a thing where I thought Apple could do better. That email was actually passed back from Tim Cook to the regional director of Australasia for Apple, who personally rang me.
Whoa.
Because Tim asked her to ring me about a thing because I thought they could do their online sales just a bit better, and they addressed my problem, which is great. So,
well,
yes.
You're an important man, I know that.
No, I'm just a run-of-the-mill bloke.
No, you're not.
A living pool.
You're special.
Thanks, Bruce.
Yeah, Bruce told me. Now, we were on the subject. This is good because it's a good...
Can we deviate slightly? You know, I upset him one time.
Upset who?
Bruce.
Oh, Bruce McAvaney. How?
Yes. I was at the ABC and I was doing a segment on the ABC. And I'd finished my segment, walked into the booth, and the two producing girls who were producing at the time went, why does Bruce McAvaney say special all the time like that? And I went, well, he likes a certain players out there. So he always goes, Buddy Franklin. And I was opening the door at the time to go out into the outside. And
yeah.
I said, Buddy Franklin, he's a special player like that. And Bruce McAvaney staring right at me at the time, shook his head and walked away.
So was... was that for fun, little walk away, or do you think he might have been a little bit of...
There was a dark look on his face at the time. I don't think you like the bloke making fun of him, so yes.
Okay. Well, I don't think you make fun of him. I think everybody talks about Bruce going, you're special, you know, because he does those things. Anyway, never mind.
Never mind.
Hello, Bruce, if you're listening in, we love you. We do. Special. Now, we were talking about iPhones, and it would have been a good segue hadn't you gone off onto another tangent, but never mind, I'll come back to it. The iPhone, we were talking about iPhone and, Apple and all of that sort of stuff and Microsoft. The iPhone, apparently delays in iPhone release this year. I guess it's because of COVID?
Exactly right, Paul. So normally this time we would be going, we know the date. I'll be coming on here saying, we know the date in September when they're going to make the announcement. We know now roughly when it's going to be released. Now it's going to be pushed back. So it looks like it's going to be unveiled in October this year. We'll probably see it around about October the 12th, the announcement. Shipping will commence for the iPhone 12 a week later. There'll also be a premium iPhone 12 Pro coming as well. That's a big rumor. But they might not ship until November. Also, we should see a brand new Apple Watch and a new iPad, not the iPad Pro, but just the iPad for everybody out there, which I've got to say is still a tablet to buy.
Yep.
Now, people always say, why am I telling you all this?
Why are you telling us all of this, Richard?
Because if you want to buy the latest and greatest, people always go in and then there's nothing worse than buying something this week and then 2 weeks' time you can buy a new one. So what I'm saying to you is if you need one of these, hold off until the new one comes out. If you need to go in and buy one because they're all still great devices as well. But also when the iPhone 12 and everything comes out, every telco around the country will adjust prices on other phones and plans. So it's one of the big things. You always see some adjustments in prices. So I always say to people, you wait until a new iPhone comes out. Then if you want the iPhone 11 or the 8 or whatever, I think you'll find they'll drop in price.
Good advice, Richard. I don't know about you. I guess it was you as well. Homework, right? When we had to do homework at school, it was tough. I mean, you'd come home after a hard day at school and then you'd have to get stuck into some more schoolwork. But these days, of course, the students are helped along, aren't they? Take, for example, Google Lens. Apparently, they're solving maths problems.
Google Lens is an app that people should put on their phone that you can go along and you can translate things, do other things. But Google has been giving students and their parents a few helpful tools during this time to make studying from home a bit easier. Back in May, it launched an augmented reality feature that lets you view 3D anatomy models and cellular structures. Really good if you're doing that. But now they're going to help you start solving maths problems by taking a photo of them using Google Lens.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're going to do this through an app called Socratix that they've bought. So they acquired it.
The old Socrates.
Socratic.
yeah, but based on Socrates.
Oh, yes, yeah. So when it arrives, all you'll need to do is snap a picture of your maths problem, highlight the equation you can't do, and it will answer it for you.
Hang on. That is fine for homework. These things can't be used when you're doing an exam, hopefully.
Well, hopefully not, Paul, because you can imagine little Johnny going up and all year when he hands his homework and his assignments and he gets A's for maths all year, comes to the exam time, leaves your phone behind, gets an E.
Yes. I thought doing homework was to be checked by the teacher. So if this thing is doing your maths for you, how are you learning it properly?
Well, they think that if mathematical concepts give you troubles, if they give you a step-by-step guide and detailed explainer, you'll be able to use those on other maths problems. Mm. Or you could just be lazy and go along and just snap it and get the answers.
So yes. And, of course, Richard, I'm told these days, and they've been doing it for quite some time apparently, students at school can use calculators. I never had a calculator when I was at school.
No, we had slide rules, didn't we, Paul?
Well, also our brain.
Exactly right, yes. And that's why we see some kids struggle today to hand you change in a shop, so yes.
Yes. All right, well, that's very, very interesting stuff.
Mathematics, sorry, did you hear about the story about the constipated mathematician, Paul? Worked it out with a pencil?
Oh, dear. One thing is for sure, every single week I'm going to get something different. I know that. That's why I love doing this. It's when you dive in to talk to Richard Pascoe, it's always an interesting time and a challenging time, I would suggest. All right, we are talking to our wonderful, controversial and sometimes funny Richard Pascoe, who's our tech guy. Okay, Richard, we all complain on social media when we have a bad time. However...
Yes. Yeah, we all like to have that bit of a whinge sometimes. We get a bad service, we don't like it, or we get a product and we go along and complain back. Can I give people a bit of advice out there? And I've had this with a client that I've got at the moment. It's got 3 bad reviews in the last month. Couldn't figure out why. One was for products they bought, and because I helped them with their IT systems and everything like that, We sat down and tried to work out when this person bought this item. Turns out he hadn't bought anything, hadn't sold one of these items for 6 months. But happens to case for me, investigate a bit further. He was actually complaining about an opposition store 2 kilometres away, but had posted it on the improper Facebook page. So what do you do when this sort of thing happens? I always believe that any business out there, if you get a bad complaint on social media, address it. Address it nicely on there. Please come and revisit us. We can fix this issue for you. Now, they might not come back, but at least you're making an effort and demonstrating to anybody that looks at that account that you tried to help. There was a one-off thing. So, you know, kindly point out their error sometimes as well. So, you know, if it is your opposition business, kind of like say, well, maybe if you came and saw us, we could have helped you better in the first place. So make sure, if you're going to complain, make sure you're actually complaining to the business that you've actually dealt with.
I think that's a very good idea, Richard. We've spoken about this before, and we are up here with resorts, with hotels, with motels, yep, accommodation of all sorts, and restaurants and what have you. And there are times when, no matter how good your service is, you'll get people you just can't please. But there are some times when somebody will do something just wrong, and people get on there. What you need is to, I always say this, own the complaint, own the problem.
That's right.
As long as you respond to it and try to fix it and get it fixed so it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And just shows you're proactive as a business owner. But if you're also out there and you're one of these people that do complain, complain about the right business, not the wrong one.
Exactly. Now, we were talking about X-ray glasses last week and sea monkeys, and that got a good response from people. There must be so many people who have had sea monkeys or had got the X-ray glasses looking to, you know, see people naked and all of that. Not that I would ever do that. As I said last week, I've never purchased one of those. That is a lie. I did say I purchased it. But listen, the sea monkeys, very, very interesting. And you had apparently a listener too contact you.
I did, yeah, who went along and was delighted that we actually talked about those old-time things.
Sea monkey. Well, we'll have to talk about old things, and apart from ourselves. Sorry.
I was going to say, if I look out the window, I reckon there's a sea monkey walking down the road at the moment. See?
A little sea monkey. No, but of course we found out they were shrimp.
Yes.
They were shrimp. Yes. And the X-ray glasses, we found out the same guy who invented the sea monkeys invented the X-ray glasses that didn't work. But they were...
He was crap on one and mediocre on the other.
Exactly, exactly. But I thought Sally spoke to me during the week in the street and said, I enjoyed your conversation with Richard last week about the sea monkeys and also about the X-ray glasses. But she also brought up something that I remember them now, but I had forgotten them. Do you remember drinking straws that had the flavour inside the straw?
Wow.
No?
Yeah, I reckon I do. Because I was in everything. I'm a good drinker, Paul. So
we're talking about... I was going to school at the time, and I can remember they didn't have flavoured milk in those days. They just had milk. They never had flavoured milk, but they came up with a straw that inside had the strawberry flavouring and had the chocolate flavouring, and you'd put that in a plain glass of milk, and as you sucked it up, you got the flavoured milk.
Do you know you can still buy them?
No.
Yes, you can.
Oh, get out of here. You sure?
Yeah, I've just searched for it as well. So they're called Sipar Variety Pack Milk Straws.
And they've got the flavouring inside.
They've got the flavouring in them, yeah.
Oh,
so you can get it for Woolworths or Coles online. So, yeah, there we go, people.
There you go.
We've done that.
Well, I didn't know that. Well, there you are, Sally. Richard has solved another problem for our listeners. You're amazing. You're special.
I'm special, yes. Thank you.
Okay, let's go to the crap tech item of the week. What is one...
It's an expensive one, Paul.
It's an expensive one, is it? What is one thing we don't need to see the inside of? Now, that opens it up to all sorts of possibilities.
Well, I thought this one was good for when we talked about the X-ray glasses.
Right.
Xiaomi is a Chinese company that makes TVs. They have decided, and it went on sale in China this week, and I'm sure it will come here, they're going to sell a 55-inch transparent TV.
Hang on, whoa, a transparent TV? What do you mean a transparent TV?
You can see.
How are you going to put it up on the wall if you can't see it?
Exactly right. It's a clear glass TV.
All it is,
you can see straight through the TV. Now, I don't know about you, Paul, but I don't really need to see the inside of a TV. I'm a bit worried about what's on the screen.
I think I see straight through this company.
Exactly right. So you imagine if somebody comes along and says, got a transparent TV to sell you and they pretend to carry it in.
Yes. You know what it's going to be like? It's going to be like the glass coffee table. You're going to crash into it one day because
exactly, you can't
see it. You've had a few drinks and your snake's hissed and you come home and you go, crash! What the hell? Straight into the TV.
Right into the TV, especially if you've had a big night out. My God, yes. You bowled over the TV and there's $10,000 gone. The company, we'll get back on track. The company advertiser's got a 120Hz refresh rate, 10-bit panel displays, a 1-millisecond response rate, and to quote, it'll have super powerful guts to create an ultra-immersive viewing experience that looks like pictures floating in the air. Yeah, with a couple of wires coming out of it as well. Now, Paul, nobody needs this. I think it's the most nonsensical thing I've ever heard of, except cartoon soup. You imagine a cartoon supervillain, that's about all they want this in their home. I really don't need it. It's like a futuristic car windshield, and this is never going to replace my regular TV at all. And $10,000, Xiaomi, I think you're going to go back to the drawing board because I don't need a see-through TV at all.
It just conjures up such an, you know, a picture of this thing that's invisible except for what's on the telly.
Exactly right. You and Marion could start selling them up at Port Douglas and pretend you're carrying them in.
Yes. We've got your invisible TV. Just plug it in. They go, where's the cord? Where's the cord? Oh, you can see through it.
Exactly. You can imagine Laurel and Hardy doing that, carrying the TV in.
That's right. Hey, listen, I sent Richard a Laurel and Hardy clip. I'll put it up on our Facebook page. What did you think of it?
There's gold. Because I love Laurel and Hardy. Some of the things they did were just incredible.
This was fantastic. It was Laurel, you know, in a military hospital out in the garden, and he instead of sitting on a bench, he sat on a wheelchair but tucked his leg up, and then Hardy comes in and thinks he's lost a leg. I'm sorry.
I'll take care of you. You'll come and live with me and you'll have a steak and everything. That's not a problem at all. Need a drink of water.
Then he carries him. It's fantastic. What about when he fell out of the car? That wasn't special effects. I mean, Hardy and him fall out of a car onto the hard concrete. You know, it's like... They were so funny. But anyway, for people who, you know, haven't seen it yet, I'm going to put it up on our Facebook page because you will absolutely love it. Laurel and Hardy. And that would have been in the 40s. And what geniuses Laurel and Hardy were.
They were a bit like Abbott and Costello. Some of the things they did, were just amazing. I always remember there was an Abbott and Costello, and I reckon it was Rio Rita. And what always used to make me laugh was that... Costello was stuck up on a roof of this, and he goes, I've got no way to get down. He said, that's okay, I'll help you get down. And he got this it was a petrol pump down below, pulled the cord up, got him to hold the petrol pump. He said, are you holding it now? He goes, yeah. And he's pulled the petrol pump and just made him fly off the roof.
Oh, that's hilarious. I haven't even seen it, and it's funny.
I'll find that clip and right. I'll send that one to you. That's gold.
Oh, Abbott and Costello, Laurel and Hardy, Paul and Richard. I mean, great comedy teams.
Exactly right, don't you?
Time for you to get off. Hey, what's your website?
Head over to talktech.com.au.
Catch you next week.
Thanks, Paul.
Oh, before you go.
Yes.
Have a little think about things from the past that we can have a talk about.
Oh, like, I know, yeah. Like the straw. Because I think people like those sort of things, so yes.
Well, I hope so. Well, we're getting good reaction for it, so that's excellent.
We are.
See you later, alligator.
In a while, crocodile. See you, mate.